Kolyb offiziell welcome. This is the we are starting the first part of the second half of our term. Today is the first meeting, and welcome to 2017. The pace is going to be a bit fast this year, official. DG, the pace is going to be a bit fast this year, so we just want to urge all of you to bear with us in the sense that we now are on gear 5. So please adjust yourself in that sense. And thank you very much for attending this first meeting of 2017. We just want to officially welcome the two members of the committee, but anyway, one. we just want to welcome Honorable Usoli, who is coming to the committee for the first time, Soli Malat. I don't want to welcome, she's been gone and back, so she's just come back. And thank you very much. Today members will remember in last year, around October, we had a meeting with the entity EAB. They came to present to us, and after their presentation, we took a decision that they must come back and present to us their transformation program. They were supposed to come back on the 17th of November. I remember the date because it was my birthday. And then they came back to us and said they can't come and present at that particular time because they are having a stretch plan, and therefore they are going through the process and looking at the whole thing. So they would rather the meeting gets postponed. So we then agreed that we will then meet with them beginning of the year where they can come and present to us. So they are here with the officials from the department. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to allow the DG to take us through. We asked three things from them. First, we asked them to deal with the issue of the transformation program. Secondly, we asked them to deal with the issue of the title deeds. Thirdly, we asked them to update us on the practitioner's bill. And they came back to us and obviously couldn't deal with other issues, but the DG will explain and give us a background. So I think let's start with those areas that doesn't need presentation, and then lastly deal with the presentation. So the presentation must be the last item. But I'm going to hand over to DG, who will then take us through, introduce the people that he's with, and then take it from there. But otherwise, I'm hoping that the meeting is going to be a very smooth and up-to-the-point meeting. Over to you, DG.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to honorable members. I'm glad, Chair, that we are on gear number 5. And not gear number 6, because most of my colleagues are Orlando Pirates supporters. So let's leave it at gear number 5. Chair, amongst us, there's only one board member, but we made a mistake of not introducing all the board members to you. You will recall that we appointed new board members of EAB in the last calendar year. We are represented by one board member. We had a meeting with the board of of EAAB on Friday last week, minister advisors, myself, and senior managers from the department, we met with the board to discuss the business of EAAB. As you recall, Chair, the chairman of EAAB, I'll just list the names and then we will facilitate that next time we come here to present, the majority of the board members must accompany us so that you can get to see the faces behind the names. The chairman of the board is Mr. Gosinathi Biko. He was with us on Friday. The vice chairman is Yusuf Patel. We have Mr. Jan Devel, who's a board member. We have Ms. Helen Falland Podile, who's also a board member. Ms. Amanda Zolisa Kuba is a board member. Mr. David Gauta Mukhomane is a board member. Mr. Christopher Zelem Welbash is a board member. Ms. Chembe Kasemane is a board member. Ms. Tandiwe Prophet McLean is a board member. And Ms. Jill Caulfield is a board member. Ms. Pumzile Makosana, board member. I think it's Mr. Pumzile Makosana, is a board member. And Mr. Monare Legoti is a board member. Ms. Eugenia Ameya Giako is here with us. She's a board member. Dr. Ramula Naidu is a board member. And Mr. Franz Johannes van der Westhuizen is a board member. That gives us a full list of EAAB board members. What we will do, Chairperson, we will then move straight to give you an update about...
Before that, DJ?
Yes.
Maybe let's do the honors and probably welcome the only one board member that is here, Ms. Eugenia. Yes, thank you. Welcome. But what we will also want, the department must please email the whole list of the board members to the members, the entire list, so that we at least have that as our record. And just for our record, maybe, how many board members did you?
15.
15, just for record, yeah. Thank you so much. I just wanted to deal with that area. Then you can proceed. Thank you so much.
We will circulate that list before the close of business, before the end of the meeting. We will then go straight and update this committee about the Property Practitioners Bill, which should have been presented to the Cabinet Committee last week, but it was rescheduled because the Cabinet Committee was replaced by the full Cabinet meeting on Tuesday last week. But I'm going to ask my colleague, Neville Cheney, to brief us about where the process is. We won't make a presentation. It will still have to go through the cabinet process.
Thanks, DJ. Chairperson, morning members. Chair, as DJ indicated, the Property Practitioner Bill, the draft has been completed and it has been introduced into the cabinet process. Chair, it has gone through to the economic cluster. It served before the social protection and human development cluster. And it's expected to serve within cabinet in the next month, and thereafter be published for public comment. We had prepared a presentation, Chair, and obviously at the appropriate time we will come to the committee once it has been. But we didn't want to skew the boundaries between the legislature and executive. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
So, perhaps just to remind the members of the committee that the bill is about transforming the industry. As we all know that the industry is still predominantly white, almost 90% plus white. And that bill will help us to transform this industry radically. And if it doesn't do that, I think it will be, there will be an opportunity during the public comment phase to interact and engage with that bill so that it does help us to transform the industry, which is still very much untransforming.
Thank you very much about that update. The urgency of this bill cannot be overemphasized, officials and AAB. You will remember now it is in the public domain because the President, when he did his State of the Nation address, he actually touched on this bill. So everybody wants to know where the bill is, what is the process. So it's very critical, therefore, that we fast-track the process and understand where it is. So we will be waiting. And thank you very much for that update. We're hoping that it goes to the next cabinet, and then you will come back to us. Probably, let's say, let's put time frame so that we just don't leave it open to say when you will be coming back. Let's just say the department will come back to us in about 2 weeks' time to just update us about where the bill is. So that I think what we need to do. Because we interact with the department all the time, they always come and present one thing or another. Keep us updated on where the bill is every time you are here, so that we know where the bill is, so that we are all on the same page. So we'll await that process. Thank you very much. I don't know if there's anything that members want to comment about. We will await that time that it comes back from the cabinet, and then we will take it from there. Okay. Can we then move to the next item then?
The next item, Chair, is the title deeds restoration program. Chair, it's important to state upfront that this particular program has not performed at the level where we wanted it to perform. We had some significant teething and gearing challenges in provinces. Implementing agencies. I must say that there isn't a single province that has met or exceeded the targets. I think all the provinces are grappling with the administration aspect of this particular program. The bigger part of the challenge is around beneficiary administration. But we left with almost 3 years before the end of this term of government, so which means therefore that we can't leave things to provinces in terms of making sure that we meet the target. We set ourselves 5-year targets, and we realized that if nothing changes at this stage, we will not be in a position to meet our 5-year targets. We've taken a decision to restructure the program differently. You will recall that in the last financial year, we ring-fenced the budget for the title deeds program because the complaints from the provinces was that this particular program is not budgeted for. So Treasury could not give us additional budget, but we decided to ring-fence the existing budget, a portion of the $32 billion budget that we are managing. We put aside more than 300 million rands for title deeds restoration. But we are still experiencing a number of challenges in provinces like the Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, what is not doing badly. Chair, we've prepared a formal presentation on how to turn things around. And this presentation will be presented to NMNEC of the 24th. It has not yet been approved by Minister. The Minister has not had an opportunity to look at that presentation. But I will ask my colleague maybe just to talk about the mechanics of what we will do to turn the picture around. Neville.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, as DG indicated, the point was that given the far-reaching implications of what we are recommending as a department and what Minister obviously will present to yourselves and MINMEC, it's appropriate in terms of consultation that we take it through MINMEC. Because, Chair, what we did was, you'll remember that we did present to yourselves, and on the basis of the recommendations and the discussions we had at the portfolio committee, Minister, together with the department, then took that. So we've taken some steps, hopefully, which will be approved by Minister as well as MINMEC, and we can then present that again. And in essence, what we want to be able to do is to demonstrate the fact that given the lack of poor performance in relation to that, and we can say that safely now, that these are the drastic actions that we spoke about. I think the point was, at the last occasion, we were told in no uncertain terms by the portfolio committee, do something or else something will be done, and that's what we're doing. So, Chair, I think with the consent of yourselves, we can schedule a presentation maybe 2 or 3 weeks from the 24th. We can prioritize that and bring back DGs, if that's okay with yourself and the Chair, sir, and obviously with Minister's consent. Thanks.
Thanks, DG and DDG. Colleagues, you will remember we've been raising the issue of our concern about the slow progress on this program as members of this portfolio committee. You will also remember our displeasure and unhappiness when we were doing oversight in Free State recently about the state of this program. Now, the department is saying they are putting a new strategy to deal with this, which will be presented in the MINMEC of the 24th. And therefore, and remember, the MINMEC is attended by all the MECs and the Metro Mayor. And then, after that meeting of the 24th, then they are proposing that they can then come to the portfolio committee within probably 3 weeks after that to come then and present what then the MINMEC has agreed upon. We also know that this particular issue as well is also going to be in the radar, because it's also an issue that the President spoke to last week at the SONA. So there's an urgency on the issue. So let me hear comments then to colleagues about that process. Are we agreeing, therefore, that let's allow the department to go and present to the MINMEC and allow the MINMEC to discuss the issue on the 24th and then come back to the committee to present the strategy? Can I hear comments? Honorable Memes and Honorable Baker. Memezu, you switched on Honorable Mganga's one, not yours.
I was following the advice. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We welcome the presentation. We just noted the introduction of the board members. We're looking forward to getting the list. We also note this report on title deeds. I must say that there's a portfolio committee. We indicated it from day one that the issue of title deeds should be checked up. Now, this idea of keep on changing is not really impressing us. Because we were clear the very first days of our existence as this portfolio that title deed, we don't understand why this is not speeded up. So we're clear. Not like DG is something that is we're taking you by surprise, to be honest. Now, you know, to be reported of some new direction, new changes, new that, you see, so it does not impress us, but maybe let's give you opportunity to present those changes, but I think you need to know which we're not very happy. We're not those people that would be impressed by changes. So we are agents for change, but you are misinterpreting that term. So we want speedy delivery, not what you are presenting. But let's wait, maybe, Chair. But I think we must indicate that this is not what we called for in the early days of us as a portfolio. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Baker.
Thank you, Chair. Please forgive me if I touch on things that have been covered previously in my absence. But there was a kind of an audit that EIAB was charged with doing in province. Was that concluded? And was there a report? If there was a report, can I get a copy of that, please? If not, perhaps they can tell us how far they are on that. Then the second thing, perhaps DG can clarify for me. I've been told, I just need to know, rates and taxes, are those imposed on the RDP or the low-cost houses once title deeds have been given to the owners? Are there rates and taxes due on that, or are they not as they are low-cost housing? If DG can clarify for me, please. Thanks.
Thank you. Honourable Beck, I think both your questions, maybe you should wait for them for that discussion when they come back. But let me allow them, because I think they are very critical, particularly the second one. So probably when they come back to give the full presentation, those are the things that we should discuss amongst other things. Let them cover it. But let me hear, because I think that's what the whole presentation should deal with, the audit, the strategy, and everything else. DG?
Second question, and then my colleague is going to assist me with the first question. The most municipalities, most metros, including this one, City of Cape Town, where we are, Chair, do impose rates and taxes. But if you look at municipal rates policy across the country, you'll notice that there is a certain threshold that is excluded or exempted from rates and taxes, because as you know, municipal rates or property rates is a wealth tax, so it's imposed on the value of the property. The last time I checked, in the City of Cape Town, they had a threshold which makes it impossible or not impossible, which excludes all your BNG RDP houses. The same with the City of Johannesburg, the same with the City of Etiquini. But in some cases, you'll find that these RDP houses will appreciate, and the value will appreciate and even go beyond the minimum thresholds that the municipalities have put for rates and taxes. For instance, it may go up to the value of the municipal property in some municipalities has gone up to 350,000 rand. And if a municipality has put a threshold of 200, the property would mean that they will only impose taxes on the remaining 100 to 150,000. So, but in most cases, most municipalities have exempted property rates. They don't impose taxes or rates on municipal property. I think the first question was about the audit of the REITs. I think we will be able to answer that question when we come back. The audit was done. We do have the figure. And we will demonstrate it to you when we present next week. The backlog by province and the performance by problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I allowed you to do that because I know that that transition was given to the portfolio committee, Honorable Baker. But it's they came and they did that presentation. They were even telling us that it's in the fingers. They've got a desktop that has all the information. You can just press it. But anyway, thank you very much. I think then let's proceed to the main presentation with the understanding that the issues that you've raised, Honorable Baker, have not been exhausted. When they come back to do that full presentation, we come back to those issues and discuss them in detail. I think that's the approach. And we then get to the transformation integrated strategy that we had asked the EAB to come and present to
us. Chair, on the transformation agenda, we will be led by the only member of the board with us today, but I'm sure Kwezi is going to take us through the presentation, but Madame will provide the leadership for this matter.
Thank you and greetings to the honorables, and thank you for the welcome. As communicated by the executives that there would have been a strat plan, as a new board, we were able to have a strat plan in December, and we came up with, but before then, there are certain things with questions to try and understand. I know you might have, I'll assume that the members might have seen the, you know, those pie charts and all that, the state of the property sector in the country. So our strategy, and we praise God that we have very capable and willing board members to work, and they are more concerned about protecting their careers. I'll go maybe to the actual board presentation. The executives have shared that one. You have the slides with, because it doesn't change anything. It still makes us sad. So we thought we won't bog us down to what is not acceptable after so many years of liberation, so to speak. So allow me then, Honorable Chairperson, to go to...
Before you do that,
okay.
You are going to present the board presentation.
It's more with the executives, the issues that, the approach that we...
No, I just want to make sure that the presentation that you're going to do is it the one that the members have.
The members...
Is it the same one?
Oh, this one is statistics.
Yes.
I would refer to the statistics.
But the one that you are going to...
about 10 slides from the board based on the statistics.
The one that you are going to present, do we have a copy?
No.
Because we are going to have issues if we are going to present something that we don't have in front of us. You stick to what we have. Members have gone through to the what we have. So we only would want you to present on what we have.
But
you can speak probably about the background,
okay,
but not necessarily do a presentation that we don't have.
Okay, I'll speak about the issues then, based on, even, I assume then members have seen the statistics of, according to provinces and the state, of the property sector. Then if you go to, I'll probably say, it's on pages, the slide 9. We talk about the private sector funded one lender program.
Sorry, Mr. Junior. Why don't you allow the executives to present and then come in at the end and speak as a board member? Maybe that's going to be easier.
Maybe that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Allow them to present and then you come in when they finish.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's just that the presentation we've got is black and white, and those color slides and the color references mean something. So when I read it, I can't actually identify which portions are which.
Yeah.
So perhaps in future, if we have a presentation like this, then it needs to be in color as well, at least just the slide, the pie chart.
Unfortunately, Parliament, with the cost-cutting measures, we are unable to give you colors. we also have black and white. And remember, the Democratic Alliance is partly responsible for that. So you will have to live with that responsibility. But otherwise, I understand exactly what you mean, because it doesn't now give the same interpretation, but we will do. Thank you so much. But now, you see, I've got a color one, but not all of you have got the color. Oh, you've got now from the department.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes, you can. Yes, there's a color. Thanks. Yes. Yeah, but anyway, can we then continue? And the executives doing the presentation, and then we'll allow Mr. Junior, the board member at the end, to come in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thanks to Honorable Members. I think, Chair, it's quite important that before I start with my presentation, let me, on behalf of my DG, also extend to you and the Honorable Members and those who celebrate Valentine, a happy Valentine's Day. So, the DG didn't do that, so let me take the opportunity
okay.
to do this.
Maybe I should then say to the members, spread love. Apparently,
yes.
Valentine is about love. Continue then, please.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and to Honorable Members. Chairperson, you know, like Mr. Junior have indicated, I'm not going to bore you in terms of the statistics, because from the perspective of transformation, basically, they don't inspire confidence. But however, it is quite important in a sense that what is the situation analysis on the ground need to be exposed so that we understand the question of saying that why this important and a fundamental aspect of our republic of transformation need actually not to be taken very seriously. So if you can have a look, Chairperson, in terms of the first slide, I'll run through the slides because actually we presented them even before, to say that if you have a look at the provincial and the national statistics in relation actually to transformation, it shows to say that although there's been an increase, you know, in the black professionals from 12% in 2012 to 17% in 2016, the transformation of the property sector is still, you know, a sector that is, you know, having serious challenges that we need actually not to transform. That one is not a question, Chairperson. It's one of the fundamental aspects that we need to do about. And of course, it has been set up very clear by the DG to say that this is the thing that we need actually not to tackle, you know, head on, without any fear of contradiction or without any compromise as well. The next slide, Chairperson, also demonstrate the state of transformation in the sector by the last year of 2016. If there, Chairperson, actually, you know, it demonstrates actually, you know, those figures on the ground. Not going to bore you on that, just for you to have a total reflection as and when we're dealing with the transformational initiatives, so that actually, you know, you do that from an informed position. We have informed you correctly to say this is the current situation analysis, and that's what the reason why are we focusing on those current and the also future initiative of transformation as the EAB. The other slide, Chairperson, also deals touch base as well in terms of the transformation in the property sector, and in particular, Chairperson, with regards actually to women as a percentage also, you know, of youth as well. So the statistic, Chairperson, actually demonstrate, you know, a very different situation in this. The state of transformation as well, Chairperson, in terms of the youth by race, is also demonstrated in there. If you have a look, it's unfortunate you don't have colors, but the colors in there demonstrate to say that the blue ones actually represent the whites, and the red ones actually demonstrate actually, you know, blacks in general, and also the previous disadvantage. So the question is, it also clearly demonstrates to say that even from the youth category and also from the sector, from the women perspective and the perspective in general in the republic, it demonstrates to say that actually the figures represent over 70% and sometimes actually over 80% of representation being white in the sector itself in general. So as opposed to that, Chair, I think it's quite important as well, it's prudent that you also take that, the background as I've presented, in relation to the size of the property sector in general. The question is that, Chairperson, is to demonstrate the status actually, you know, of the sector, to say that if the sector is, the size of the sector is over, you know, that particular size in terms of 7 trillion, so we need actually to make sure to say that how do we, at this particular point in time, as opposed to what I've also demonstrated in terms of the demographics and the representation, what, to which extent that we need actually to drive this particular issue of transformation. The question of the legislative imperative to drive the transformation is also important, Chairperson, and also including all those other fundamental transformational initiatives that will, of course, actually discuss in our presentation. It also demonstrates that. So I'm trying, let me say, Chairperson, at the same time, to try, let me say, to marry the current size of the market and as opposed to what I've demonstrated, you know, before in terms of the representation into the sector itself. It demonstrates very clearly to say that the size belongs to a particular sector of our society, and of which that's something that we are trying, let me say, in our best to try, you know, to reach out and also to try to transform. And that is exactly what the legislation also will purport actually not to try to achieve. And also having some sorts of legislative and punitive measures to make sure that how do we transform transformation, what all these initiatives that we are doing as the EAB are going to be supported actually by the legislative, you know, reform and the regime change. The provincial says, I'm not going to bore you, Chairperson, on that. It really demonstrates to say that if you go to the Western Cape, the percentage is 92%. If you go to KZN, Chairperson, it's 75%. You know, white representation. So if you go to Eastern Cape, it's 86%. If you go to Mpumalanga, 82%. If you go to Limpopo and Gauteng, the same. Like I've demonstrated before, that the figures actually demonstrate 80%, 60%, and also over 70% in terms of women, youth, and all those other, you know, categories that I've mentioned. So for me, Chairperson, it's basically just to demonstrate, you know, the figures that we were trying, let me say, you know, to do. The second part, Chairperson, after demonstrated that, and including the property market side, it's quite also important as well, you know, to talk with regard to the current EAB transformational program that we have presented actually before the portfolio committee before and before even the honorable members. Basically, it was with regard to the previous performance of the current program that we are running, which is called the One Land, One Estate Agency Youth Brigade Program. Chairperson, we have demonstrated that because we had two categories of that particular program, as you may be aware of, to say that we had the private-funded One Learner Youth Brigade, you know, initiative. We had actually, you know, the funded one, which was funded actually, you know, through CETA. But however, Chairperson, I must clearly say without any fear of contradiction that in those particular initiatives that we have done, because it was the first initiative that we have done as the EAB in terms of driving the transformation actually, you know, head-on, we had actually a number of challenges. The number of challenges, Chairperson, have been, you know, vast. We have demonstrated them that to say, look, we went out actually to the sector which is basically privately owned. We went to the sector which is commission-based. We went to the sector that is basically, you know, predominantly, you know, a particular, you know, race group. So what we want actually to transform them was the fact that when we're dealing with the youth brigade program, the One Learner, One Youth, you know, the brigade program, we wanted actually, you know, to make sure to say that the sector itself play a role, a very critical role. Playing a role in such a way to say that they play a role by them becoming host employers. Many of them, they've signed the pledges, Chairperson, for them to become host employers. They managed, you know, to take some of the learners. Of course, actually, you know, the percentage of it, actually, we had number of challenges on them. We have demonstrated in there to say that what were the figures, what were the figures on the private funded in the Eastern Cape as well as per, you know, per provinces. So, but however, all those, Chairperson, you know, we had number of challenges. The challenges were very clear, Chairperson, that the transformational challenges there were the attraction of the industry can be overcome by low retention. Like I've indicated, Chairperson, the retention has been primarily on the fact that our young people there, and more especially from the previous disadvantaged background, you'll find themselves that when they are attracted, when you recruit them into the space, you know, you'll find them to say that the question of commission, waiting for commission for too long, sometimes the transaction in the property sector as well, you know, the value chain part of it, of the registration process, up until the level of them receiving their own commission, which is due to them, is something that actually has been some of the other challenge. Once you have recruited them, once they receive, when they don't get something in 2 months or 3 months, they don't get mandates, you know, in respective areas, it becomes also a challenge as well. Some of them, they will, of course, in the process, drop out from the program because actually, you know, of those particular challenges. You know, the lesson learned from the pilot indicated the commission-based commission is a challenge, Chairperson, I've indicated. The lack of the stock to sell in the market. That was also part of the very important aspect, Chairperson, to say that we needed actually not to do more, and in particular, when we are recruiting these particular learners to come into the program, we cannot expect them to come to the program, and at the same time, we don't give them access to business. We need to make sure to say that once we recruit them to come into the program, it's an open space out there, but once I sell in the particular suburb or certain areas, you must remember that there will be those particular challenges in terms of, you know, the race challenges and also the question of not getting mandate and so forth. But the question will be that as the EAB, we needed to do more in a sense of bringing in the public sector participation, in a sense that while the public sector have got its own stock and its own, you know, stock that is available, as and when they're disposing of the stock, they need actually to give these lenders an opportunity for them actually not to make money out of that. The typical example, Chair, was the issue that Gauteng provincial government have raised, to say that they wanted to dispose some of the other stock that the province has been owning, including the house of the premier. So those are the questions that we are saying, to say that we are engaging them to say that, look, because we've got learners into this particular program, we need also to give them access to the market and also access, you know, to those opportunities. We do have this meaningful engagement with other sector departments and including municipalities and so forth, Chairperson, that are willing to participate and also bringing, you know, their stock into this particular category of our learners so that they can have something that they need to sell. They don't have to wait for too long, actually, you know, for the commission that they have to get. So the other thing, Chairperson, that was of a challenge that we don't want, actually, you know, to, you know, for you to know about, was the resistance to change by the existing estate agents as well, the challenge in certain areas, like I've indicated, and the perception of the youth becoming the new competition. Also, remember, Chairperson, one of the other fundamental issues that we need also to mention is that in here we're talking about the aging sector. When you find estate agents, many of them, they are 58 or 60 years upwards. So if you are bringing in young people, we've got energy to run around and so forth, many of them, they will find that also as a particular challenge as well, to say that, look, we are bringing in young people, then as a result, we're going to go out of the market. So those particular things are some of the other challenges that we are experiencing. But the rest part of it, Chairperson, is if we can, of course, strive to achieve, to say that we work very closely with our, you know, sector departments and also other spheres of government in terms of making sure that as and when they dispose of their own assets, they, of course, actually, you know, give first preference, actually, you know, to this, you know, type of transformational initiative that we are driving. The other sector, Chairperson, that you are aware of, that I'm not going to dwell much on, I'll be very short and precise on, is the one that you know, of course, of the funded, CETA-funded One Learner, One Estate Youth Brigade program, which was funded by CETA through the initiative and also engagement of our minister, also the engagement with the other Minister of Education as well. You know, we managed actually not to secure some funding relating to it. And also the numbers are there, Chairperson, that we went on the recruitment drive, but it was also dependent also as well on the cooperation of the sector as well for them to pledge and also to be the host employer, you know, to our learners. Of course, it does not actually, you know, inspire, you know, confidence what we were expecting, but however, there are a little bit and pockets actually of success of the program itself as well, Chairperson, that some of the other students, they managed actually, you know, to succeed in completing the 12-month cycle. And also some of them currently actually, you know, they have made commissions, and also some of them actually, you know, through this particular program have turned around actually, you know, their lives. They have got some few pockets of benefit there. The program itself, Chairperson, demonstrates in terms of the figures there, you know, the Gauteng, the KZ, you know, the Gauteng is 302, and then KZN, and also the total there, Chairperson, of 186. The next slide, Chairperson, will also demonstrate, as opposed to the figures that I've demonstrated in a previous slide. Like, for example, the pockets of those particular kind of successes in the current transformational EAB program, the funded ones, you know, what is the sales, you know, data there, to say that many of them, notwithstanding, Chair, the challenges that I've raised, which are very important, but notwithstanding those particular challenges, it demonstrates to say that these young people have a passion, you know, for them actually, you know, to participate in the property sector. It's demonstrated to say that notwithstanding those particular challenges, not even the stock available to them, they went there in an open market and demonstrated their willingness and also their passion and breaking this border barrier. Many of them, they can demonstrate that they've got some deals and they managed to do some sales there and there. And therefore, Chairperson, the next slide demonstrates also some of the commission that they have earned. Many of them, they've earned some of the other commission, you know, for themselves. And many of them actually, you know, they are heading towards the second phase, which is after them acquiring the NQF4, which is only not only the qualification that is going to give them an additional opportunity as well for them to venture into the sector. We have qualified them in NQF4, they go to NQF5 for them to become principals. Because our fundamental intention here is for them to make sure to say that they acquire NQF5 for them to become principals. We don't want them to remain under the auspices of somebody for the very long time. The question and the success of the program should basically be judged on the basis of how many learners that we have taken through the program and how many of them are principals to date, how many of them are independent, how many of them, are calling Gwenya properties. How many of them are called that went through on our forum, you know, our own program. Many of them, they have earned the commission and they are proceeding with their chairperson as well. The current transformational program on the funded chairperson, you know, we have done that the learners, it shows there the number of the dropouts as well rate, and also the interns and the total thereof chair. The challenges have been there, chairperson, without any specific emphasis to one. But as I'm saying that, I've demonstrated to say that you need a to make sure to say that as and when you package the program, as we're going towards the second phase and the ANA program, then you learn from the challenges that we have done, you know, that we've experienced before, and on those particular implementation, you know, programs that we have done. Like, for example, the stipend has been also a problem, chairperson, that many of our young people, and more especially in the township and rural areas, you'll find themselves with that, no, the stipend was too low to retain them, you know, it could not, you know, sustain them, you know, for a very long time. As and when they are trying, let me say, to end commissions, the transport and the support system, chairperson, the attraction to the industry can be very low sometimes. The lessons and the pilot commission based remuneration challenge, I've mentioned that. The lack of stock, I've already mentioned that, chairperson, and the resistance, and also all those other perceptions of the new generation. So all those particular challenges, chairperson, has been interchangeably been a challenge throughout a number of our own programs. And chair, the reason why we want also to demonstrate this is because we want also to demonstrate this in relation to what we have set ourselves that we wanted to achieve through the MTSF targets as set out. So it is very clear in the sense that we set ourselves that we wanted to achieve certain targets, and therefore demonstrate clearly to say that to which extent that we have achieved certain targets, and to which extent through the challenges that I've mentioned that we are unable to reach some. And in particular, Chair, with regards to the number of interns, in terms of the MTSF, it already demonstrated there in 2016, 15, 16, and 16, 17, what is there that we intended ourselves to achieve, and to which extent that we have done that, chairperson, and also what is there that we have achieved. And also, Chair, the percentage of the increase of estate agents operating in the subsidized and affordable market, that's another target that we set ourselves that we want to achieve. And through all these initiatives of the current board and what is there that they intend to do, we'll strive to achieve that. Actually, we basically achieve the target they set out in the MTSF. And also, Chair, the annual performance target, you know, plan target also demonstrates very clearly what I've demonstrated to say that as our own initiatives that we want to do a transformation. It is not just the question that we cannot be measured on, but it's basically something that precisely we need to actually, you know, as a portfolio committee and as a department need to measure us on in terms of our own performance. And therefore, the strategic plan target is set in the chairperson that we want to achieve, and also my colleagues will add on it, and also making sure to say that to which extent that we have, you know, we have achieved in respect of the target set out in annual target plans. And also, Chair, it clearly demonstrates the annual performance plan targets. They are there, chairperson, 3.4, 3.5. I don't want to bore you into that. And also including the issue of the legislative transformational initiative of the bill and so forth, which has already been responded to. Chair, now, the fundamental question that we also need actually not to dwell much on is the question of the future transformational programs of the EAB, and also what the perspective, you know, of the board is actually not to ask that, of course, the member will add on that. Chairperson, besides all this other transformational program that I've mentioned, in this particular slide, as you can see, I've only demonstrated only one portion of the transformational initiative that we want to do as the EAB, and including the future transformational program. That's the one learner, one estate agency program that we are aware of, that I've demonstrated that. But the other establishment, chairperson, or the other program that we want actually not to initiate, or the future program, is the issue of the SMME incubation program. The SMME incubation program, basically, chairperson, is going to focus on regularization of non-compliance estate agents. Chairperson, this particular aspect has been a very important aspect, and it's a challenge into the sector itself. As you are aware that you have also mentioned, the portfolio committee have mentioned this particular challenge even before in our previous presentation, that what is that you are doing as an estate agent board with regards to the illegal operating estate agents. There are a number of them that have been, you know, out there, chairperson, that are illegally operating. Like, for example, number of them, even including some of the other people, actual foreigners as well, are trading actually as estate agents, as we speak. But the program itself, Chairperson, is meant actually, you know, to make sure that how do we regularize, how do we bring in the previous disadvantaged, in particular the ones that are not actually, you know, properly registered. They are there, they are a problem. And they are causing two problems, Chairperson. Firstly, they are basically being subjected actually, you know, to a number of abuse. In a sense of say that they should be acting on behalf of somebody, but they are not getting what is due to them in terms of the commission base. They will be used to run around and getting all those particular deals, and therefore somebody who's legal then will make use of them and give them, you know, whatever the compensation that you have to give them, not in terms of the commission as set out. The other part, Chairperson, is that you'll have so many of them taking away business from the regularized sector, the ones that are operating legally. You'll find that there are a number of them, you know, within the space, Chairperson, that we want to bring them in. So with this particular program, that SMM incubation program, is basically trying to bring them into the sector. We are saying, going out to them there to say that, look, we are aware of the fact to say that you are operating illegally, and as a result, you've got a passion and an interest to, you know, to become an estate agent. Come into the sector, we'll put into the incubation program and making sure to say that you comply and go through the regularization process of the EAB. Number of other initiatives have been given out there, Chair, and in particular with other sectors as well, to say that, look, we want to dispose of owner assets, but bring the registered estate agent. So what do we want to do, Chairperson, with this particular program is to also to make sure that we regularize them, we bring them into the sector, we bring in the benefits, and we are showing them and demonstrating the benefits. And in this incubation program, Chair, we'll be holding their hands to make sure to say that in terms of the regulatory compliance principle, they need actually to submit their audited financial statement. Many of them, they will tell you to say that no, to acquire the services of an auditor is quite expensive, so they cannot actually comply with the regulatory requirements of the EAB set out in terms of the Act. So many of them, what we are bringing in, will be bringing in all those auditors that are going to participate in the program for them to do the audit reports for them, and making sure to say that we make the process very easier for them to participate and remain as estate agents. So part of the program is to do the Chairperson. But however, over and above, there are other new methods of initiatives that the new board wants to bring in into making sure to say that how do we regularize the non-compliance and also other estate agents that are operating illegally. That's another program, Chairperson, that we want to have a look at, that the board still need to interrogate and making sure to say that it, of course, it cannot give it some direction. The other one is, Chairperson, is the establishment of the new firms. With this particular program, Chairperson, we are targeting to say that we need, actually, in this particular MTS period, that we need to have 10,000 new firms via the incubation program and engage in consultation with the formalized and established business. To say that, in particular, what we wanted to do is to make sure to say that how do we go to the formalized sector? How do we go to the formalized and established business to encourage them to invest into the property sector? This is an aspect that is quite important. To make sure to say that how do we increase the participation of the blacks in general into the property sector. But we are not only going to focus basically on the private disadvantage, those who are not compliant or those who cannot actually afford to participate in the sector. But we also need to make sure to say that how do we reach out there to the successful black entrepreneurs to make sure to encourage them to say that, look, at the size of the sector itself. The size of the sector is over 7 trillion. What do you want to do? We want to bring you to come and participate and also to become estate agent via this incubation program. And the question has always been, Chairperson, that, you know, many of them, they've been telling us to say that, no, look, the qualification process of the EAB sometimes is very technical and complicated. So many of them, we need to make sure to say that, how do we at some point bring in those black entrepreneurs into the sector, and at certain point within the incubation program, de facto relax the rules to a limited extent to make sure that they participate, they become interested in the property sector, as opposed to them having only, you know, interest, let me say, for example, in construction. But in construction, in terms of the whole value chain, how they become also participants in the property sector. So we need the children to make sure that we come up with a very attractive, you know, attractive programs, an incubation program that is going to attract the black business for them to come back and invest, you know, into the property sector. The other one, Chairperson, is that other one of the interns, you know, which are over 35 years. As and when we're talking about the One Land Estate Agency program, Youth Brigade, it's basically limit the age to make sure to say that if you are between the age up until age 35, and therefore we don't have a space or a particular program that will be focusing on those who are above the age of 35, but however they are not entrepreneurs, but they have never been estate agent before. So we need also to make sure to say that how do we bring them into the fore? How do we bring those who don't have like, for example, formal qualification. Those who didn't have matric, those who have matric, those who have don't have, you know, tertiary qualification. Because our requirements sometimes, Chairperson, can be very not problematic, but they are very formal in the sense that they need a child to bring in and recognize. There are some individuals that want to become a state agent, but they don't have to form the formal, you know, structured and regulatory, you know, requirements that are set out in terms of the Act. So we need to make sure to say that how do we bring those missing middle into the industry and making sure that we make programs for them as well, and making sure to say that those have matric, they want to sell, they bring and participate into the sector. So we need actually to cover each and every aspect of the previous disadvantage for them to make sure that we have clear programs and attractive programs and practicable programs that are going to be attractive to them for them to come and participate and play a role. Because for us, transformation is about making sure to say that how do we make programs easier and easily accessible and attractive either to young people and also to people that in the formal sector that want to participate in the sector. But the way it is, Chairperson, it does not actually, you know, inspire any interest at this point in time. But as I'm saying, that if we can have those progressive, realized program, practical programs that are going to be attractive, then something that we can realize all these future transformational programs. And then, Chair, lastly, we'll deal with the issue that's relating to the challenges made to focus on transformation, and in particular in focusing on what the current board, in terms of its own transformational agenda that they want to drive, and informed by the transformational initiative that they want to do following the strategic planning session. Now, in here, Chairperson, what they want to do is basically to place transformation at the center, you know, of their focus, and also making sure to say that transformation department has been established now at an executive level. What they wanted to do is basically to highlight the transformation in principle, to make sure that in the organogram, in the structure of the, you know, of the institution itself, we do have an executive responsible for transformation, purely focusing on transformation and driving transformational initiatives and making sure to say that that particular individual or that particular structure or that particular program reports directly to the board and take accountability in terms of making sure that all transformational initiatives are realized. And lastly, Chairperson, also the other thing, the transformation department, also what they have established, the board for the first time that they've established a transformational committee of the board, which is basically going to look at all the transformational initiatives of the institution, also in line with what is focused on MTSF, and making sure to say that the transformational committee of the board focus purely on transformation of the industry. For the first time, they're going to have that and focus on transformation and making sure that they prioritize transformation and transformation become the central cry of this current board. The other focus, Chairperson, is that drive transformation both, what they wanted to do, the current board, is basically to drive transformation both internally at EAB and externally to ensure that there is compliance with legislation. And also as Employment Equity Act and also the BBBEE and the Property Sector Charter. The focus should only be there, that's what to say that they need not only necessarily need to focus on the external transformation initiative, also they need to make sure to say that the internal transformational initiative of the EAB is realized and making sure that all these other pieces of legislation are being complied with, including, Chairperson, that the driver, the fundamental driver of this transformation is going to be the property, the Property Practitioners Bill as well, as it will be introduced, you know, into cabinet. The other focus of this board, Chairperson, has been ensure that economic inclusion in the private disadvantaged individuals in the private sector, in the property sector, that the PDS are the focus and the central focus of transformation, and to make sure to say that what I presented earlier on as a situation analysis, that you find 80%, 70% of the sector being dominated by only one race, then it becomes actually, you know, properly aligned. And also, Chair, to engage with the Public Works Department to ensure that the PDS participate in the property business. Like I've indicated, one of the other challenges, as and when in our current and the previous initiative, was the question of saying the access to the market of these particular learners. But the question is that we need actually not to make sure to say that we thrive without any compromise, the engagement with the public, you know, with the Public Works, which is a custodian of the state asset, to make sure that as and when they are disposing of the properties owned by the state, they make sure to say that they give preference in particular to the previous disadvantaged individuals that are participants in the property sector. But of course, who are legal, who are participating in the sector, who are pulling part and parcel of our own incubation program. The other sector, Chairperson, will be the establishment of the real estate incubation for small struggling agencies. Like I've indicated that, the reputation of non-compliance estate agent, the project management of the title deed as well form part of that, and also to promote consumer awareness and also protection of the emerging stakeholders in the property value chain, and also to make sure that there's a cross-function interface with other sectors to ensure that transformation is energy pursued, and making sure that all these other initiatives that we have already mentioned, Chairperson, are realized. That is the focus and the entire focus of the current board, to make sure to say that the transformational agenda that they have done and the challenges that have been raised are primarily focused at, and also to make sure that transformation becomes the central core and the focus of the transformational committee of the board, and in general, Chairperson, that will be the focus of the current board, and also that will be the last slide on my presentation, Chair. As I rest.
Please drink water. Thank you so much, Mr. Nwenya, for that presentation. Any additions from the executives from the AAP before I give the member of the board? You okay? You hear me? Okay. Okay. I think then, Mr. Junior, Ameyo Giako. Yes, I've got it. If you can probably then do your concluding remarks on the presentation, and then we'll allow the DG to speak, and then I open it up to members.
Though we kind of caught off guard a lot of, there's been a change in the past few days, we prepared or we enhanced the presentation that was supposed to be presented to the minister. It was even on Thursday evening. And we went on Friday to kind of get a bombshell. So then the board felt some of the, you know, maybe our strategy and things were maybe not well articulated. Maybe let me check this thing. With this act, we realize that as the board, that you are sitting in the same room with the regulators. That's what this act provides. The referees and the players. So hence, in most cases, you won't be surprised by what we've seen in terms of transformation. That 80% you see is the same people who are represented here, who are supposed to address the very same transformation. I was honored or humbled to be asked to lead that portfolio. And then also with the statistics, our statistics that were shared, obviously as new people, we question things. And thank God for our board members. If we do the government with the ticker box, that's not our approach. If you say there's a learner, we always say with the 6,000, what is the retention rate? With the 400, you know, what's the success rate? So we're asking those questions in the strategic plan. So I'll go through the presentation and some of the maybe creative and new things that you were thinking about. So to share the process, can you go to the first slide? The board process thus far. Obviously, you take the top one. The board process, we had a board induction and mandate was clarified. Obviously, the mandate included having transformation, and then the property charter CEO presented to us the state of the transformation. And then obviously we included the SONA, obviously the president's input, because we updated after that. You can go to the next slide. This one you've seen, but I want to focus on the next one. Once we talk economic inclusion, if you look at it, the public sector it has property portfolio of 220 billion. And it's exactly the same property sector, public property is in the hands of the same 80%. once it's led by our own people. So that's something as a board we don't understand. So then you will hear then in some of our strategies what we intend doing. The next slide. So we said the dynamics that are facing us is a transformation. Is the new is the old legislation or this one that is still current, and the property practitioners bill. Obviously, with the agenda to transform, we're really, really pursuing that. You look at it, there was a 6 month gap between the previous board. You said it's an entity without a board, and or the board had matching orders. And then the impact of the new legislation on us. We had a briefing by Advocate Melanie, the DGSL there too, and whatever happens, whether the board members are there or not, we want to set a good foundation that is solid for transformation in the sector. Obviously, as citizens and as stakeholders, we are concerned about that. In the next one, we just had full input in our strategic plan, which I assume to be shared with you. In this 7 trillion industry, looking depending where you look or where your thoughts is or reference point, we needed to ensure that barriers are removed. When we did an analysis, you realize that the barriers could be the attitude, the barriers would be perceived competition, the barriers could be lack of momentum or not evaluating our projects. So let's identify what those are, you know. So then we even said, okay, if you've done something, at what point do we do survey to check if this your radio thing is working? Or do we just tick a box, we were on the radio, or we publish so many publications we've achieved? Whether people have read it, whether they have impact. We also thought that public works has property. If public works alone, it's more as you say internal transformation. We started there. We want to focus on that. You all know that EAB, including the ministry, you know, is led by, I've never seen that all the executives are made, you know. And then we said before, even we transform, the fact that even our own BE is spent, we won't be sitting here and not consider the government broad initiative. Our BE is spent, where are we spending it? Those are the things. Let's start to lead by example, start internally before you can engage, as us to say transform. So maybe the public works, we've shared with the minister on Friday that he could speak to public works to say, why can't you allocate some of this to the privacy disadvantage? Engage metros and municipalities. There's even a project in Mangaung where at least the executive mayor there is giving land to part of the black property owners or people who are in the estate agencies. So that's even a model that we can look at and see how we duplicate it in other provinces. The other one is to vigorously drive the project management of title deeds. There seems to be, luckily the DG is here, that this title deeds need to be project managed at EAAB. That needs to be clarified, who is project manager or what's the role DG of EAAB in this matter. It is eating. I don't want to...
Me, not to the DG. Yeah. I'm chairing the meeting.
Yes.
Sorry.
So the location...
Don't worry about him eating.
The location of the funding, where the funding was, so that's a grey area of the EAAB that is the board kind of not sure. And Brian has said, luckily on Thursday, that maybe the funding must be transferred. Whatever the department does, whoever project manages, so the perception created and expectation from the minister will be key for the board. Don't want to find ourselves in a very grey area. In the annual performance plan, The human settlement, the title deeds, we've said that. And then the EFFC, part of the challenges we've realized that those people we spoke to briefly, Okwezi, my colleague here, about we were thinking of amnesty. Sometimes people don't comply because of the cost of compliance. I'm not sure if members know that. The Pam Golding and the one in Khayelitsha, in terms of FFC, they pay the same amount. So we say this, you can learn from SARS, where they say pay as you transact. You are earning 2 million, your tax is different. You are running a business, at this 100 million, you pay a different amount. So those are the kind of creative ways we want to introduce. We can't say all, you know, you pay the same amount. Once you are making billions of turnover, the other one is selling maybe 5 houses a year. So those are the kind of things, amnesty for those who legalize them, because that's even what drives them out of the industry. And issues of affidavits, if there's for BEE, you should know that you could give an affidavit that you are operating at this level, or here am I, I'm an African black. So why can't we, estate agents, have issues like submit your financials instead of being audited? Because to get auditors, you can't afford them. You have even made money for 3 months, you must pay an auditor 150,000. Those are the things that we feel. So we are kind of asking, when we say we had robust questions, those are the kind of things we are asking ourselves as a board. Can you go to the next one? Maybe the portfolio committee to appreciate. I know there was a vision that says a world-class regulator. Next slide, please. A world-class regulator. We've put transformed, because before we change the world, let's change our country. You know, obviously, as a regulator for now, you probably see in the next slide, you know, that how we intend doing that, and a partially integrated, once we are aware of the legislation. The next one, we said our mission is to protect, regulate, and transform. We won't leave transformation. So we were kind of clear, which will even move swiftly to the next you know, legislation. So in this one, once we have this project, our key as the board is that triangle in the middle. What is the impact? Having done this, have you checked whether the impact is positive? Have you checked the impact on the beneficiaries? And what lessons are we learning? What are we going to do different? How sustainable is this? Because we can put the learners and say 4,000. And then the issues that are facing them, what is the impact of that project or program we are running? And then the next one is more the expectations from us. Our expectation is that obviously in an oversight role, we probably obviously hold the entity accountable and the ministry, I assume, support their countrywide initiatives. You know, for an example, when the advocate was sharing about, there seemed to be a 6 month push to get this bill through, which we are happy with. It will come with some changes, even the board, we might not be there. But he's saying, what? There are others ready with legal expertise and money to engage in the bill. We even propose that, why can't EAB organize stakeholders in communities where they can speak in their own language, that those points are taken? Because my legal experience, travel experience in network, you hear that who sit as business to say we've engaged with a very fancy, well-thought document. And then the other people in township and villages, their input might not be heard well. So hence we say we need your support on that, in those initiatives. And then alignment with various government initiatives. We talk BEE, we talk employment, we talk, you know, let's align all of this, even our spend, even with the public works, drive for promotion for even the current and the future board. We know that after the new legislation, the board could have been changes. For the benefit of the country, we feel that this is what needs to be done jointly by all who love and patriotic about this country. And we are here to jointly, we are co-laborers with you in this vineyard. Thank you very much, members, your chair, you know, chair and the members. No.
Thank you very much, Mr. Junia, for that. It looks like the board is engaging with proper issues which probably will take us forward. Your last word from the department?
I guess, Chair, we'll have a second bite on these issues once the bill is out, because most of the issues of transformation are in the bill. For instance, there is a big debate about sharpening the levers of transformation, and one of the levers that we have is the issuance of licenses. We had a big debate amongst ourselves about how we make the property sector transformation charter more aggressive, because there is a view that at this stage it doesn't bite the way we would want it to bite, and in the issuance of licenses, and this is within our control. We can follow maybe along the same lines as the mining charter, because if you look at the mining charter, they do talk about how you you use the issuance of licenses to transform the mining charter, and I think we can still do the same in the property sector as well. But Chair, we will have a second bite on these issues and we'll be able to discuss the issues. On the title deeds matter, I'm sure the board member will benefit if she comes back when we're coming to present the title deeds program, the restoration program. We have been working with AAB on this issue for more than 2 years, and we're quite clear about the role of AAB, the role of the department, the role of provinces and municipalities, and the funding arrangement that goes with it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DJ. Honorable members, it's quite clear that the transformation program or agenda, as we discuss it, and I'm going to open it for questions and clarities, but it becomes very clear that it's tightly linked to the issue of the bill. So I have a lot of things we'll be able to understand them in line with the bill. But I think I'm going to allow members to make comments, ask questions, with that understanding that it means when the bill comes out, this discussion will have to be located at the discussion when we are interacting with the bill. But I'm looking for hands, and so that I can see people that are going to comment. Honorable Bam, Honorable Malazi, Honorable Baker, Honorable Nagatabash. Honorable, what's your name again? At the back. Honorable Macau. Is that order?
Good morning, Chair, and the meeting, and happy Valentine to everybody. I suppose my first question will be answered when it's on the discrepancies with property ownership. Maybe the bill will address that. But the other thing which I am keen to know is the admission rate of into the youth program. Is there a limitation? I'm asking this limitation in terms of numbers of admissions. I'm asking this because I'm looking at the magnitude of the land, and I'm seeing a lot of people that are going to be churned out, who are going to be running out of stock, who are going to go insolvent. I've seen a lot of these people who are registered and who go around being agents going under because of lack of stock. I don't know whether maybe by churning a lot of youth will improve anything, because the stock will not increase. It will remain the same, but it is how the distribution will be handled that will talk to things. I am very concerned about having a lot of people who are gunning for a piece of wealth in the property industry and finding that the market or the stock is depleted. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bam. Mugwanya, Honorable Suleiman, this is your maiden speech.
Thanks, Chair. I'll be very brief. From both presentations, I mean, there was a lot of emphasis on ongoing engagements with provincial governments and state entities about making some of their stock available for these youth that are on the youth program. As a way of, you know, expanding their prospects of being sustainable. But I'm not hearing any timelines linked to the potential deliverables, you know, and that is very key in terms of us measuring whether those efforts are really genuine or are producing any results. So if we could have a sense of, you know, which of the provincial governments, if any, have been engaged regarding this and the other state entities, but also to look in terms of, you know, when one looks at the stats in terms of the enrollment or participation of the youth program, across all provinces, it's not incremental, so it fluctuates from 1 year to the next. So I just want to get an understanding from the Eastern Board whether that is, I mean, what informs that, you know, because the demand and the magnitude of the intervention remains the same, but the level of enrollment is not gradually incremental. In fact, it's not even stable. In other provinces, you have over 100 youth that are on the program. The following financial year is 54. So I can't make sense of, you know, the enrollment or acceptance in there with regard to the massive scale of the pressure that you've both highlighted. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malazo. Honorable Beck.
Thank you, Chair. I just need some clarity on the first statistics we saw with the racial statistics. How many physical bodies does that are represented there? Because if I look at the targets of how many new or black, shall I say, black estate agents we need to bring into the system, and how many we have done. The target versus the actual numbers that are there at the moment. Because what I'm trying to understand is how long will it take us to transform given the target versus the actual numbers that are there. I need some clarity there, because we can have targets that mean nothing if we don't have that number. So how long is this transformation process going to take based on those figures? And secondly, I think...
Honorable Becker, just before you have to go to your next question, but I can understand what you're asking. If you look at page 2, where they have the percentages, at the bottom they've got the number. At the bottom of each pie, there's number. So I don't know if you're asking more... If you look, for instance, if they talk about 2016, according to race, they then say 83%, and then at the bottom they say, why 26,484?
Okay, thanks, Chair, for the clarity. So how long will it take us to reach that transformation, and what's our target percentage to make that transformation process meaningful? And then the... with regards to Ms. Eugenia spoke about the fees that has to be paid. I think another factor we must look at very carefully, you know, I was briefly in the estate agents industry, and it's a very, very challenging industry to be in. It's a very expensive industry for you as an agent to actually be in. You must have a vehicle and. But the other thing is, often you will find an agency that's located in a previously white or more affluent area, and as part of transformation they will recruit some black agents, but those black agents are then mandated to sell in the township areas or the previous black areas, so their earning potential is actually much lower than the others. I mean, how do you regulate that part of the industry? How do you force that part of it? Because they're all going to pay the same fees, understandably. You now registered not in an agency in the township. So you perceived to be earning more, but actually you're not. How do you regulate that? I don't know how you can.
Thank you very much, Honorable Beck. Honorable Macau. Thank you so much. Was there another hand? Honorable Ngangacabashe.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation led by the DG and the EAB led by the board and the executive. Chairperson, I wanted to come in first to support your proposal at the beginning, that I think all these questions are linked to the bill itself, because we have dealt with all these issues before, and I reserve any comments and questions for that process. But having said that, Chairperson, I just want to request that whenever we have new members, we rather forward documents to them rather than ask the department to go back and present what has been presented before. Not unless it's just a quarterly or once a year or twice a year presentation that we said we need an update. rather than we go back to audit reports and the backlogs, if they come in within the new presentation as an update, but rather than that, the documents are in this on the system of our personnel here in Parliament that can be forwarded to them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think we must concretize the fact that when the bill does come out, I'm just saying this up front, so before I allow officials to respond. When the bill does come out, Honourable Members, please, on the day that we are going to discuss it, it will be like a workshop, so that we all sit here and understand the bill. So we need to make sure that on the day that we will all agree, we avail ourselves, because it will be sort of a workshop between ourselves, and we will invite AAP to come so that we then have a sense and discuss these transformational programs in relation to the bill in a more longer process and understanding. I'm just throwing it so that when that time comes, the department, the AAP, and us as portfolio committee, we understand that we have got that commitment to make sure that it's going to be a longer deal that we will have that interaction. I'm not sure if there's any... DDG Cheney?
Thanks, Chair, with the permission of the DG. Chair, I think it's just important to note that you can't have an entity transform itself and I think we must be careful about this, is that in any program, in any legislation, in any policy, government leads. And I think it's important to note that the department leads in this process. So I don't want anyone to walk out of here thinking that the department has got no role. The property practitioner's bill is something that the department together with, I mean, in fact, the minister leads in this process. And I think we must be clear about that, because that's been one of the flaws, particularly in relation to some of our transformation and our policy initiatives. So that's the first issue. The second issue is, and I think it's important, I think, just to reiterate the process, is that I don't think any one of us here are under the impression that we're going into a very difficult phase, because transformation and dislodging institutional hierarchies and consolidated foundations is going to be difficult, because you're shifting major transformation. And I think in relation to one of the questions and one of the criticisms that we've raised, that has been raised against government, is, well, when we determine and when we indicate what is radical transformation, we are putting together the mechanics and the policy of how we will achieve that radical transformation, particularly in the sector. And I think the president was clear about that issue in what was indicated there. The third issue is that in many respects we must sometimes see the big picture. And the big picture is the following, particularly in relation to it. And I know that the EAB board previously, and I think maybe even the officials, couldn't see the relationship between the title deeds eradication process and the EAB. And it's an intricate one. If that you have more people in our country with title deeds and ownership, you'll have a bigger market, a secondary market. Because if we eradicated the current title deed backlog, anything between 1 million to 1.5 million, you'll have 1.5 million more households who are able to transact. It makes the sector bigger, and it's something that we must not be, we must be clear that our objective, particularly in relation to property and our mandate as the department, is the transformation of the property and residential sector. And I think that's the mandate of the minister, that's the mandate of this committee, and that's the mandate of... So Chair, I think from where we sit in, the DG's mandated, minister's mandate, that we will be paying particular attention and full time to this task to be able to achieve that, because as you indicated, the sector, depending on who you speak to, at what time of the day, at which time of the week, it's between anything between 2 trillion and 7 trillion. And the last point is that when we speak about the property sector, it's not only about the residential. The state agents cover commercial, retail, and industrial. So I think we must not be, because they undertake some of those processes. And in many respects, we've put ourselves in a box, and we haven't put ourselves in the box. It's residential, industrial, commercial, as well as the other sectors which transact in the property. Thanks, Chair.
Very much. I don't know. There were specific questions. If probably the entity can deal with those specific ones, like Honorable Busole that they have asked, and then with the understanding that even though you respond to these questions, remember, don't get tired, because when we meet again, we will still raise the very same questions. But if you can just respond to those specific questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll respond to some of the questions, and my colleague will also add on them. I'll respond to the, to the last question, and in particular with regards to the distinction between and the restriction, particularly in respect of certain areas that our estate agents are unable to cancel, and also making sure that we create a very conducive environment for them to participate. If you have a look, Chairperson, that some of the other fundamental issues that we have dealt with, they are interrelated. If we have a look, the question have always been raised to say that what is it that we are doing as a sector to make sure to say that most of our people, in particular the previous disadvantaged estate agents, they do have an opportunity to cancel in certain areas. There was a challenge, Chairperson, practically, that in certain areas, like for example in Gauteng, if you go to Waterfall and all these other gated communities, you'll find to say that no, for an estate agent, for you to operate in the particular sector, they'll tell you then you need to register for a fee. They will tell you that they want about 30,000 and so forth. In particular, is to make sure to say that you as a black estate don't participate in there. But the role, Chairperson, once that is integrated, is that the role of the CSOS or the sectional attachment schemes ombuds, they are playing their particular role in name and making sure to say that the rule that governs those homeowners associations basically are de facto relaxed, and making sure to say that our principal disadvantaged estate agents do participate in the particular sector. So their role is very clear, Chairperson. We've been working closely with them to make sure, but of course they do have programs in place in making sure to say that in certain areas, in particular in certain affluent areas, if you go to those expensive gold estates, you find to say that there is no space for us to participate. But the transformation of that particular sector as well is also driven, actually, quite vigorously, actually, by the, under the leadership of the department, and that, of course, actually, CSOS, what they are doing, very sensitive to make sure to say that all those rules that are govern those associations, they don't actually do to preclude, the previous disadvantage for them to sell in those estates. The other question, Chairperson, that is very, of course, important is the question that we have highlighted, Honourable Member have highlighted, the issue of the ownership and admission rate. Like, for example, we have also indicated that in all the challenges that we have rated in terms of all the sectors of the programs that we want to deal with, we have indicated the question of the lack of stock. And also we've indicated in the two presentations to say that it is quite important for us to have that meaningful engagement with Department of Public Works to make sure that they reserve certain portions as and when they're disposing of their assets, including provincial governments, including local level, for them to reserve certain portions as and when they dispose to this private disadvantage, and in particular our learners who are participating in the program. Chair, the timelines in relation to that is that the other slide of the board member indicated very clearly that we have a very practical, meaningful engagement with the Mangaung city, wherein, Chairperson, they have set aside a certain portion of the land that they're going to develop, where they're going to develop mixed development of over more than 500 million. That has been set aside to say that this particular site will be reserved as and when they conclude to develop. It's going to be reserved for the private disadvantage. But however, they were very clear in a sense that they want the EAP to assist them to make sure to say that the previous disadvantaged licensed estate agents, in particular with regards to this one that are participating in our program, incubation program, do participate in the Chairperson. The question will be that this particular program, this initiative of the Mangaung, will of course actually not set a precedent and will also be a blueprint actually for us to make sure that as and when we're engaging with other sectors, with other spheres of government, making sure to say that we're using that as an example. Because they've been upfront, Chairperson, to say that, look, they may have been upfront to say that this particular development, all the development within the city themselves, they will be set aside. Then we'll respond to the same question that other members have also posed to say, what will be the opportunity for us to give them access to the stock? So the stock in the particular sense, Chairperson, will be intensified, will be make sure that it becomes available. And lastly, Chairperson, with regard to other issues that relating to transformation, you know, in terms of the targets and so forth, we'll of course make sure and strive to achieve that all the measurable targets set out in MTSF are realized through these particular programs. But however, the fundamental question will also remain, Chairperson, like, in the instance that you want to have a legislative transformational regime to drive this particular program to realize your transformational initiative, the question, like I've agreed with the honorable members to say that the fundamental, you know, aspect that we need to participate on, which will be very scientific, will be the question of say that how do we measure, you know, and making sure to say that the legislation itself actually not respond to all those important transformational initiatives that we are doing. And I'll ask my colleagues to add on the other issues.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm just going to respond to the question of the trends in terms of youth placement since 2012. What you must understand from that table is that we're just basically measuring the youth that were placed by the actual estate agents through the registration process of EAB. So what you'll notice, we do not have the influence within how the youth is actually recruited within the sector, but what we're keeping trends on is actually whether it's going up or down. And if you look at the total number from 2012, we are saying there were 919, which have now grown up to about 2,109. So there is an upward trend in the recruitment of the private sector of youth. And also it comes from the fact that there's interaction between the executive and the CEO with the various estate agencies, where every time there's a discussion, the youth program is brought up. And so the awareness is growing, and that's what we're seeing. And that as we go forth, we will see more youth being recruited from previously disadvantaged within the state agency sector. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think, honorable members, let's, I don't know if you know the term where you are trying to milk a dry cow, where you're not getting the milk out of it. But I think let's not try and do that. Let's park it. Because one of the big things that we must understand is, one, whilst they would tell us that the trend is going up, we also are aware that the dropout is very high. So at the end, what is the end result? So let's leave that and then we'll discuss it at the time. Also, Honorable Malaz, I think without using the jargon of the English, it's very clear that the interaction with provinces and metros, except for the Mangaung, has not yielded positive results. I think let's just be clear about that. But remember, these are officials. They speak English. And when they speak English, they hide truth in between the words. That's how they are trained. So, but the truth is, it has not yielded positive results. If you can listen and look at this. So let's do this. Let us agree that this is a very important item that we need to grapple with as the portfolio committee, because it talks to the economic transformation that we are grappling with as a country. And it is something that we must take very seriously and understand it and be able to actually deal with it in detail. Now, we can't then be satisfied with these kind of responses, officials, because there's more to it, but we also understand that the bottleneck is in the bill. And therefore, the process of the bill and the transformation program goes hand in hand. We will then come back to this. So when this item then comes back to the agenda, members must not be surprised, because we have not exhausted it. Actually, we have just introduced the item, just to have a sense that actually it is a big issue that we need to deal with. And therefore, I want us then to say, let us then allow this process now to rest for now, give it a break, allow the officials and the entity to go back, and when we come back, the interaction and between us and them is going to be more robust than it is now, because at that time we'll be dealing with it bill itself. Can we agree?
Yes.
Thank you so much. And that then takes us to the end of this item, because it doesn't matter now who is going to respond. It's not going to give us any satisfactory answer. Can we agree on that? Thank you very much. That takes us to the end of this item, and with the understanding that then the item is going to come back in the agenda at some point. Now, we are only left with one item in our program. It's just the minutes of the 29th of November. Nobody must leave. It's just one item. Sit where you are. It's just one item. It's the minutes of the 29th of November, where we were interacting with the department on the report of the UN Habitat, just to adopt the minutes. That's all. Yes, Honorable Khorai.
I was just moving for adoption of this minute to the report from it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Ansabash.
Chair, before I second, I just want on page two, item number one, the last paragraph in respect of the former chairperson, I think C should be a capital letter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just that.
Oh, okay. All right. Noted. That. Thank you so much. Otherwise, with that, you are seconding.
I'm trying to second.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. That then takes us to the end of the meeting today. And thank you, Honorable Member. Before you leave, there is a young man here who is the content advisor to the committee. It's his birthday today. He's born on Valentine's Day. So before you leave, there's cake at the back. You all have a piece of cake. And happy birthday. We can sing for him if you've got the voice. His name is Sabelo. Thank you. Happy birthday. The meeting is adjourned if there is no singing. Thank you.